We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, welcome to Thursday. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. Thank you for tuning in today. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you. I would ask that if you would be praying for us, we're coming up on weekend number one of our back-to-school giveaway, where we're giving away hopefully 50 pairs of brand new shoes for kids to go back to school. So that is exciting, but do pray for us. This, if it is not a project that is bigger than what you are, then it may not be a God project. It might be a good project, but it may not be a God project. And this project that we are attempting is larger than what we are, and so do pray for us that we will do things with excellence and be able to minister to people in love and not only bless kids with a new pair of shoes, but hopefully bless them with a new relationship with Jesus Christ. Also like to ask you if you would be praying for us. We have one of those good problems right now. We have more things going on than we have building to accommodate them. And we are looking at, exploring options, what we can do in order to continue the level of ministry. We're actually looking to increase ministry as well. And, that involves, laborers in the harvest field, which we're praying about. It involves facilities, it involves time and resources. And so, we have a lot of things we'd like to ask you to pray about with us. Now, I do want to remind you about Jits Concrete. They have done a great deal of work at our property, some recent renovations. And so if you're looking for block or concrete work and need it done, they do a great job. They're very reasonably priced. And if you'd like to see some of the quality of their work, you can come by and see us at Merit Assembly of God. We can point it out to you. There's some more things that we're going to be doing, as far as sealing and painting the concrete. But I'll be honest with you, after 22 and a half years of pastoring the church, there are some things that I kick off until a little cooler weather. And anyway, you can see it in its natural form. And that is coming, that can be seen at our facility at any time. So thank you to them for helping us out. Now, do want to invite you out to church on Sunday morning. We're going to be preaching the word again. We have Sunday school at 9:30, church at 10:30, our worship service. And then we have Sunday night service at 6:30 p.m. So that's coming up. We have our grow groups coming that are starting in August again. And we are going to be studying getting out of the pits of our life. And so, which is kind of appropriate because we are in Genesis 39 today. Genesis 39. And so we're if you want to be turning there, that would be great. So anyway, if God lays upon your heart and you'd like to help us with any of the outreaches we're doing, you can contact us. The information's at the end of the broadcast as well at the beginning of the broadcast. Just make a note, whether it's school shoes or the Refresh Radio broadcast or whatever, God has been very good to us. I think I will share with you a praise report as far as the effectiveness. We want to be making an impact upon our community and our world. And a little over a week ago, I received a fax from our National Resource Center, as it's known now. It used to be called Headquarters, but now it's the National Resource Center, and received a fax, and it said that out of 9,000 churches that had participated in world missions giving in 2014, Merit Assembly of God ranked 102nd in per capita giving. And so, you know, for us, that was very exciting for us. We actually support more missionaries on a monthly basis than what we have people that are attending our church services, and just recently gave them all a little bit of a bump in their financial support as well. And we say to God be the glory. And we know that if we sow seeds into the kingdom, that God is going to cause us to reap a harvest as well. Let's look at Genesis 39, shall we? And verse number 19 is where we'll start, just to begin the context and read on down through the remainder of the 39th chapter. It says, "So it was, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper." And as we are reading through here, I need to point out to you that as we are reading through these passages, that the Bible is not detailing every circumstance and every challenge that people faced. It is just highlighting some of the important things. And if you are just reading this passage, just going through it and just encountering the Genesis text, you might think that one day Joseph is over everything in Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife falsely accuses him, and then Potiphar gets angry and he takes him to the prison. And the very next day, the warden of the prison sets Joseph over everything in the prison. That's kind of the way it reads. It doesn't read, you know, with a lot of detail in it. And it says in at the end of verse number, "and he was there in the prison." That's the way verse number 20 ends. But it says, "but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor." And so today I want to kind of explain to you a little bit of what happens between the end of verse number 20 and the beginning of verse number 21. The end of verse number 20 and the beginning of verse number 21. If you will turn to Psalm 105, the 105th Psalm, and it says in verse number 16, what we're going to talk about in Psalm 105 here, this is going to take us from the beginning of time when Joseph is delivered into prison, and it's going to take us a little bit further than what we're talking about here in the 39th chapter. So I want to just begin to show you from Psalm 105, and we may come back to this psalm a little bit and touch on the latter part at another time. Psalm 105, "Moreover, he," that would be God, "called for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provision of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave." Listen to this. This is what happens between verse number 20 and verse number 21. "They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and the ruler of all his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom." So listen again to verse number 18. "They hurt his feet with fetters." This is Joseph. "He was laid in irons until the time that his word came to pass. The word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him." So that is what is going on in Joseph. When Potiphar in his anger delivered Joseph into prison, he didn't go in there automatically as as the lead trustee over all of the prison. Instead, he went in there as a base level prisoner. Again, in chapter 40, when we talk about the prisoners who were there, the baker and the butler of Pharaoh, you are going to see it says that Pharaoh was angry with those people and he delivered them into the prison. And so when Joseph gets there, the first thing that they do is they injure his feet and they chain him up. They place him in irons. He is confined. And I will be honest with you, when I read this in Psalm 105 earlier this year, and this was one of those new things for me. I've read the story of Joseph, preached Joseph, but I saw that and it's like, God, how could I have never seen that before? And so that's why it is so important for you and I to constantly be in the Word, because God is going to reveal more and more insight into us. There are things that you might notice the first time through or you might not notice the first time through, but you might notice them the second time. And, you know, I've probably read the Bible through, I'm going to say conservatively, probably 60 to 70 times that I've read it through, and I am still gaining insight into the Word of God. Thank God that he knows all of the insights into God's Word. You know, you could be listening and say, well, you don't pay very close attention when you read, do you? And it's like, well, you know, sometimes I may not pay as much attention, let's just be real. But there are other times that God is preparing us to see things that we may never have seen before. And so if you read the story and you think, well, Joseph, I mean, just everywhere he went, there was just automatic promotion and all of that sort of stuff. I want you to know that wasn't the case. There was actual physical harm that came to him in that prison cell. There were limitations that were placed upon him. His restriction was not, you know, just in the size of a cell. The restrictions in an ancient prison were not like a modern prison where, you know, they have, you know, air conditioning and a comfortable bed and shelter from the heat and all of that sort of stuff. These were very rustic, very primitive conditions, and they chained him up. And I want you to know that even in those circumstances, that God is still God. What are you going to do when the Word says, this is what I'm going to do in your life, but your circumstances describe an entirely different scenario? Instead of people bowing down to you, now you are chained up like an animal and you're not able to move very far at all. And so that's the reality that Joseph faced. So how did Joseph respond? And when I began to look at this, I automatically had a connection with Acts the 16th chapter, because we find Paul and Silas who have gone on and they have delivered this girl of being demon possessed, and as a result of that the economic loss that came to the people who were using her for profit. It says in verse number 20 of Acts chapter 16, and they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city, and they teach customs which are not lawful for us being Romans to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, listen to this, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And what we see in the life of Joseph and what we see in the life of Paul and the life of Silas is that even if you find yourself in a prison cell, even if you find yourself beaten and injured and wounded, even if you find yourself where the range of mobility that you have is severely restricted, that is no excuse to not to praise God. I challenge you on this Thursday morning to praise God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you are bound by a sickness or a disease, if you are infirmed, you could be listening to this radio broadcast in one of the jails. I don't know. Wherever you are, I encourage you to just begin to praise God, and do not allow bitterness to rule and reign in your heart. Don't do a whole lot of whining and moaning. I'll be honest with you. One of the things that is extremely fatiguing to me is to be constantly hearing whining and moaning and complaining. Oh my goodness. I was so thankful when my children grew out of the whining and moaning and complaining stage. It's like, seriously, at one point in time, my kids were in our home, and they were complaining about something. I don't remember what it was. It had something to do with the rooms, or, she touched me or he touched me or whatever. I don't remember, when you're traveling down the car, mom, they're touching me. He touched me. Tell him to stop touching me. At least that's what happened in our car when I was a kid. They were having this conversation, and they were in a room, and I'm not sure which two of the kids it was, but I said, "Do y'all remember?" Now, mind you, we still pastor the same church that they lived in. I said, "Do y'all remember the room that you shared together? The room that you shared together is bigger than smaller than the smallest room that one of you has right now. Do you remember the restrictions? Do you remember how confined you were?" And all of that sort of stuff. And they were like, "No, we don't remember." And folks, today I want to remind you that God is worthy of praise, not because of your circumstances, but because of how holy he is, how worthy he is, how omnipotent he is. He is worthy of praise. Now, here's the thing. You may be injured and wounded and restrained, but God does not intend to leave you that way. Let me say that again, because somebody should have just said, "Praise the Lord." You may be wounded and restrained, but God does not intend to leave you that way. So I encourage you to begin to do two things. First of all, do what Paul and Silas did, and that is begin to worship the Lord even in your chains. And the second thing I want to encourage you to do is demonstrate, like Joseph did, what a model prisoner would look like. I'm talking about not good behavior. I'm talking about God behavior. I'm talking about, if they give you an assignment to do, back in those days, prisoners did not just lay around in a cell all day long. Instead, they got put into work modes. And so when you go out there, do that work to the glory of God. And that's what Joseph began to do. He began to do what he had always done. He began to serve with faithfulness and diligence until that time that the warden said, "You know what? I don't think he needs to be chained up anymore." He's still a prisoner, and I don't care what your prison looks like. Your prison could be very it could be very luxurious, or it could be very small and confined. I don't care what it is. If you do not have the ability to go where you need to go and do the things that you need to do, instead someone else is restraining you, that's a prison. That's a prison. If it's under house arrest or you're in a maximum security prison, it's still a prison, and you need to first of all begin to praise God there. And here's the thing, those two experiences, Joseph's prison and Paul and Silas's jail experience in Philippi, were both used by God to bring about supernatural events in the area that they were imprisoned. For Paul and Silas, whenever they began to praise God, now listen, it says that an angel of the Lord came, there was an earthquake that took place, all of the prison doors flew open, and the chains of all of the prisoners fell off. They were free to come and go. And you want to talk about a miracle? Here's a miracle. In Paul and Silas's case, not one of the prisoners left. They said, wait a minute, we have never seen a worship experience like this. We have never seen a supernatural act of God like this. I am not leaving. I'm not going to miss a minute of it. The thing about the earthquake in Philippi that is so amazing is that earthquake was not so that the prisoners could escape from their prison, but instead it was so that the jailer could come into the kingdom. Not just the jailer, but his entire household. And so you and I, we need to recognize, listen, if Paul and Silas and the other prisoners had escaped that jail cell that night, it is true they would have killed the jailer. But they would have tracked those men down. They would have either reincarcerated them or they would have killed them in the process. The very next day, Paul and Silas, there was a dispatch that was sent and said, release those men from jail. And that is for a story for another time. But I will tell you that God had them there, and there was a supernatural move of God that took place that altered Philippi to such an extent that Paul wrote them the book of Philippians. And in there, one of the great themes is rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And when Paul wrote to the Philippians and he said, you can rejoice, they knew what he was talking about because he had demonstrated a lifestyle of rejoicing even while he was in a prison cell. He knew what it was like to rejoice in the Lord. For Joseph, it was very important for him to demonstrate excellence in service while he is chained and fettered and wounded, because he is going to rise to prominence. I need to explain. It was absolutely crucial for him to demonstrate faithfulness in his chains so that those chains would be removed, so that he would be able to interact with the baker and the butler that we're getting ready to talk about in chapter 40 on a future broadcast. It was essential for him to be able to interact with them so that he could minister to them and they would eventually remember him when Pharaoh has his dream. I'm telling you that how you respond today, God is watching, and he will use that as we respond to adversity with great humility and faithfulness and praise and worship. As we respond to that, God is going to position us to supernaturally touch a community. Supernaturally touch a community. A little over a week ago, I was preaching out of Isaiah, the 26th chapter. And Isaiah says, God, we've not really been able to impact our communities. We've had other masters over us, and those masters were cruel. We prefer your dominion, your lordship over us. People cry out to you whenever they have a problem, but God, we have not done much to impact our community. I want to ask yourself, you today, to ask yourself this question. When was the last time you evaluated your spiritual life in with these regards? God, am I influencing my community, or is my community influencing me? And I tell you that if we're waiting for some perfect circumstance before we say, oh, now God can use me, you and I are missing the point. And God wants us to demonstrate in our here and our now that the children of God respond differently to adversity than the people of the world. Praise him where you are at. Serve him with excellence. Believe God for favor. Believe God that he is going to set you at liberty. The next time you feel a little discouraged about, you know, well, this is unfair, I want to encourage you to go to Psalm 105 and start reading about Joseph and, you know, the depths that he was in and how far God brought him up. There's an old song that says, he brought me out of the miry clay. And I want you to know, he still does that. He still sets the captives free. Praise him where you're at and allow God to move heaven and earth, so that people can be brought into the kingdom of God, so that people can know there's a supernatural God in charge. Why don't we close in prayer today? Because we all face our pits and our challenges, but and we could probably do a better job of worshiping the Lord than what we do. Amen? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would forgive us for procrastinating our praise and our worship, and Lord, waiting until just a better time comes. Lord, I pray that right now, even if there was just a challenging diagnosis that came from the doctor, Lord, if there is a limitation in what we are able to do, Lord, there may be people who've been wounded by those in authority, and God, they just feel hemmed in on every side by problems and circumstances. God, right now, we just lift up our voice. We lift up praise and worship to you and ask that you would be exalted, that you would shake off the chains, God, that you would break the power of those chains so that others could come to know that you love them, that you care for them, and you want to move in their life. Lord, we just magnify your name. I thank you that you did not just set the captives free in the Old Testament. You didn't just set the captives free upon the cross, but in 2015, you still set captives free in a supernatural way. We give you glory and honor and praise. Folks, you all have a wonderful day. Until tomorrow, we'll see you right here on Refresh. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m., and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."